Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about believing what God says is true and then doing it.
So just do it.
Story of Operation Christmas Child. To some, it may just be a shoebox, but to millions, it is the start of the greatest journey. Traveling the world, sent with prayer. Shoebox gifts fill the hearts of children from over 100 different countries with hope, faith, and love.
Welcome back to New Every Day. So glad that you've tuned in again. We have been having quite the conversation, Jen. And just before we dive in, wanted to thank you for going on to patreon.com, patreon.com. Thank you so much for those who have already clicked and donated. And what you can do there is actually pledge to donate 25 cents per episode, and that allows us to keep this going and keep meeting with all of you every week.
Yes, we do thank you for that very much. So today's show, we're going to talk, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Zechariah and Mary and their response. Well, no, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Zechariah and his response to the angels. Last week, we talked about Mary and her response to the angel. And on today's show, we're going to look at Joseph and how he responded to God's telling him, that his fiance was pregnant and she was carrying the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, reading from Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was engaged to marry Joseph, but before they married, she learned she was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Mary's husband, Joseph, was a good man, or righteous in most translations, he did not want to disgrace her in public, so he planned to divorce her secretly. While Joseph thought about these things, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, descendant of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the baby in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this happened to bring about what the Lord said through the prophet. "The virgin will be pregnant. She will have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord's angel told him to do. Joseph took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to the son, and Joseph named him Jesus. So this is quite a different response than what we've seen in the previous two. Mind mm-hmm. you, Matthew is writing, mm-hmm. and in the first two responses, Zechariah and Mary, Luke is writing. And so it could be chalked up to just a different author was focusing on different things. But as we read this, it's very clear that the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, told him what was going to happen, and then when Joseph woke up and did what the Lord's angel told him to do. Where in the previous two, Zechariah had said, "Prove to me, like, show me that what you're mm-hmm, going to say mm-hmm. is true, like, prove to me that you're not lying."
Yep.
And then Mary was like, "How's this going to be?
Yes.
Like, how will this happen? So, but both of them questioned the angel, whereas Joseph just woke up and did it. There's no questioning whatsoever. At least there's none recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm learning more and more is if it was important to the storyline, then the Lord would have recorded it.
Hmm.
And so I'm reading this and I'm like, the important part is that when Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord's angel told him to do. No questions. He just got up and he did it. He didn't question. He didn't think about how, well, we don't know what he thought about. We just know he did it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't actually matter what he was thinking or if he was perplexed or, you know, scared. It just simply said,
he did it.
He did it.
And was obedient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I find very challenging because I would tend to be in the Zachariah, Mary category.
To ask,
how is this going to work out? Or, yeah, I know your word says this, but I would tend to be in the questioning category as opposed to the, well, God said it, so we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe another good person to reference, since you've been talking about him for the last 2 weeks, is Abraham.
Yes.
So the call of Abraham.
Yes, in Genesis 12. Mm-hmm.
So Genesis 12, Abram, mm-hmm. God calls Abram and says to him, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Hmm.
So he got up and went.
And left his country, left his family, left everything. Mm-hmm. And went because God told him to go. It's very interesting. I often want a sign to know, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? Like, prove to me that this is what you want me to do.
Like when he asks you to do what or what?
Like
are there specifics?
Oh yeah, like when I have to leave a job, when I have to quit a job and go to Lord,
to change
to me,
the direction of
to
your
change
life.
Direction of my life. But sometimes it's as simple. I was driving down the road the other night, and I just felt a little prodding, like you should stop and get gas. And I was like, okay. So I stopped and I purchased gas. And I had a nice conversation with the gentleman who was, taking my money. And, but then it totally worked out for the rest of the week and into the next week because I had full tank of gas. Like, it's very, like, it seems so simple that it was that small little prompting from the Spirit, like, go and get this done. And I was like, okay. Like, and there was no question to it. And so sometimes I wonder if those are like little testing grounds for the Lord, like, okay, I'm prompting you to go do something. Are you going to question it? Are you going to do it? Or are you not going to do it? So I would hope that as I cultivate the Spirit at work inside of me, obeying the Spirit's leading, I would hope I would be less like Zachariah, prove it to me, and Mary. Well, how exactly is this going to be? Like, still knowing it could happen, mm-hmm. and just be like, okay.
But yet, I think there's value in asking questions.
Okay.
I mean, there's a verse in the Bible that says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that we are invited not to, not necessarily to be full of doubt. But when we ask a question, I only ask a question of someone if I think that they're going to be able to give me the answer.
Right.
Right? I ask God questions because I know he can give me the answers to them. Right. Even about, like, weird non-spiritual things.
I totally agree.
Right? So when Mary asked, then it afforded the angel the opportunity to then say, well, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. He shall call his name Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mary says, how can this be, since I do not know a man? This is Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Hmm.
So she got a whole lot more information just by asking the question.
Right. And yet Joseph had zero information, which is very interesting. And is that part of him being a righteous man? Because he was right with God, he trusted God, he had a relationship with God, and God in the past had surrendered his life to God in such a way that he just knew. Like,
Well, Abram believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Yes.
And we're supposed to believe God.
Yes. And just did it, right? Mm-hmm. And just like when Abraham, I believe at this point, was asked to take Isaac up and sacrifice him. And he didn't ask any questions. Mm. He didn't any questions. He just put him on the altar. And yet it says, I believe further on in the New Testament, I don't have a reference, Robbie. Do your magic. Might be Hebrews. Anyways, it says he believed in his heart that God would provide the sacrifice. Yeah. And on the way, he does turn to Isaac and say, no, God will provide the sacrifice. But that's it. That's all we know. Right? And yet, there's Abraham just, okay, God asked me to do this. And so yeah. I will do it. But that, like you said, that's the act of a righteous man.
Yes.
And Joseph was...
Believing and being obedient.
Yes, believing and being obedient are acts of righteous people. Even though it might not make sense. And Joseph actually, it says, had every right to divorce her. Because she was found to be with child outside of wedlock and it wasn't his own. So he had every right, according to Mosaic law, to divorce her and actually to kill her. Like, according to Levitical law, she should be stoned.
Right.
And so he had every right to do that, and yet he chose not to. So it's very interesting when, you know, so often I hear people talking about, well, my rights. I have the right to do that. Do I not deserve this? Like, and they get offended, right? And so yet here's Joseph, who has every right to stone Mary, to divorce Mary, to ridicule her, to humiliate her. And because God asks, he's like, okay.
But is that not humility? Like, the one who humbles himself, God will lift up in due time. And when I think of humility, I see it as like a willful withholding of power for the good of something else, for the good of obedience to God, for the good of someone else's well-being, mm-hmm. right? And he did that for Mary. Deliberate withholding of his own right to do that.
Yes.
Because he believed that God's promise was greater. He was believing in the promise that was inside of Mary, mm-hmm. who would ultimately be the Lord to save him.
Yes. And it's interesting because he didn't go to the Lord and say, but Lord, I have been right with you all my life. Why are you doing this? Like, there was no questioning.
Right.
He didn't even go to the Lord to say, you make this right. He didn't. He just... was a righteous man. He withheld his rights to question or to separate himself from Mary to do what the Lord had called him to do.
Yeah. Well, when you look at, I'm just thinking about where Joseph would have been coming from, right? So he would have been brought up knowing the Old Testament and knowing God's promises to Abraham. He would have known the stories.
Right.
Would have known Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the story of Israel. He himself was a descendant of David. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how God fulfills his promises. He says in the Old Testament that the Messiah will be from the line of David. Mm-hmm. And Joseph was from David's line, and so was Mary. He had both sides covered.
Right.
Very interesting. But, okay, we look at when Gabriel comes to Mary. Chapter 1, verse 33. Mm-hmm. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. So he refers the verse previous to David, mm-hmm. and then refers to Jacob. Mm-hmm. And Joseph would have known the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would have known the promise that was given to Abraham that God would make his descendants more than the number of sand on the seashore. And he probably would have thought back to Abraham's story when he offered up Isaac.
Right.
Like, I don't know if he fully comprehended that this baby inside of his wife was actually going to literally be the savior of the world. But if you look at Genesis 22, verse 6. So Abraham is taking Isaac up the mountain because God has asked him to sacrifice his son. Mm-hmm. And we know now that, like, this is a parallel between representing God the Father offering his son for us. But it's just interesting what he says. verse 6 in chapter 22 of Genesis. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. And when we were talking about how inside of Mary was the promise, right? This is the promise that God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Mm-hmm. It's like, was Joseph realizing this is the fulfillment of the promise? This is the promise that's from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. Is that what he was realizing and that motivated him? Or was it just, God told me and I'm going to obey? I wonder if it was both, maybe both and.
It very well, you know, could have been both and, because if he was right with God, he would have known the Torah. He would have known the stories. He would have known about God's faithfulness. But I also think it was, God, you asked me to do this, so I will do it. I think it's the both and. It's knowing the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Did he put 2 and 2 together that Mary was the fulfillment of Isaiah, where it says, "And the virgin will be with child"?
I don't know.
And he could have, because he would, if he paid attention in synagogue, then then he might have picked up on the fact of, wait a second, Isaiah's prophecy was about a virgin being pregnant. Mary has never had a relationship with a man in a sexual way, and she's pregnant. So maybe he did put, we don't know, because all we know is what it says is that when he woke up, he did what the Lord's angel told him to do, and he took her as his wife.
And we don't get to see Joseph's life past when Jesus was a boy, and then he stayed in the temple.
Yes.
And then Mary and Joseph were looking for him. But that's it.
That is it.
It's presumed that he died prior to Jesus.
Yes.
So we don't get to hear anything much more, but the glimpse that we do have of him, that he was a righteous man because he had faith and he obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Which is very interesting. Like, he just did it. He just did it. He believed. He believed in the promises of God and trusted that the Lord would look after him.
Yeah.
And so why would he not walk in obedience? And that's exactly what he did.
And maybe you're struggling with something that you've read in Scripture that God is asking you to be obedient to. So maybe it's actually to love and respect your husband, despite the fact that, you know, maybe he doesn't believe, or, you know, maybe he doesn't speak that well to your family or what have you. But God asked you to love him. And what does that look like?
Yes.
And it doesn't make sense. It's counterintuitive to, you know, kind of submit yourself.
Yeah.
And love other people. Or maybe you've got that really hard coworker that you're trying to deal with. But God says, you know, he is faithful to his promises. If you love, you'll prove to be his disciple. And
yeah,
he'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
Shall we pray?
We should. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you take care of the rest. You ask us to believe and to obey, and then you take care of the rest. You work it out as we walk in obedience. So we ask in your name that you would help us to believe and obey, that you would help us in our unbelief, and you would help us to move forward in obedience. Watch over and keep safe our viewers today. Bless them, encourage them, Lord, that they would feel your presence and experience your love in their innermost being. We thank you for Category 5 and Robbie Ferguson and his family. Bless them, encourage them. And we pray this in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again for tuning in, and have an awesome week. We'll see you right back here next week.
Next week. Thank you.